With spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Roto-World Football Show. I am Patrick Daugherty, joined Thursday, March 14th by Danny Carter and Kyle Dvorak. The second wave of free agency is well underway, even though free agency supposedly began yesterday. And now the league is popping people for tampering, even though it's so widely encouraged and seemingly just accepted, and that they make a few arbitrary examples.
Wait, who are the examples? I didn't see these.
Coming after the Falcons for the old captain, it's apparently illegal to sign Kirk Cousins now. and the Eagles for Saquon Barkley. We'll get into that more in a minute.
I saw the Saquon one.
But we got a lot of big stuff to talk about that's gone down since Tuesday. Calvin Ridley has finally found a new surprise home in Nashville, Tennessee. We never talked about Gabe Davis on Tuesday. We'll talk about that in the context of the Jags not getting Calvin Ridley. Deontay Johnson has been traded for a pittance to the Carolina Panthers. Desmond Ridder, LOL, traded for Rondale Moore, also LOL. Mike Williams cut, Michael Thomas cut, Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew. We want to debate which lower impact signing we like better. Mason Rudolph in Tennessee, Mike Gesicki in Cincinnati, Irv Smith in Kansas City. I actually missed that one yesterday. Then we'll talk about our favorite and least favorite signing so far. But yeah, Denny, what do you think of the DOJ coming after Atlanta for signing Kurt?
I mean, look, come on. Let's be real about it. First of all, I said the other day online that the tampering has never been so legal, and it turns out it's never been more illegal. Let's be real about it. The Falcons wouldn't give Kirk Cousins the GDP of Brazil if they didn't think that his Achilles was going to be okay. And to do that, they would have had to get that information somehow. Kyle Pitts was reportedly meeting with Cousins multiple times in recent weeks. This was reported, by the way, by Mike Florio on Pro Football Talk, and it was laughed out of the building. And it was right. The whole thing was right. And so that, you know, I do think that there's obviously tampering. I don't know if the league's going to crush them for it, but there's something going on.
You got to choose a lane basically with the NFL. Either have real free agency rules or don't. I don't understand the wink nod. I mean, as of Monday at noon, you have the official NFL account tweeting graphics already of players on
it's
new
true.
Teams.
But the goal is, and you saw this, you see this every free agency period. Monday and Tuesday, the NFL, which currently is not in season, as we may know, dominated headlines. Dominated. There was nothing else existed in the world of sports except for that. And so that's pretty cool for the league. So they're going to continue to encourage that.
Well, they will, but it's just, you can do it in a different format. They just need to do what baseball does. You can't have free agency starting a month after the season. Baseball has free agency begins 10 days after the end of the World Series. If you're giving teams 2 months since the end of the regular season to tamper and 1 month since the end of the Super Bowl, it's truly what do you think is going to happen?
So you're saying you wait a week or two after the season's over?
Yeah, because that's the only way to stop tampering. They're not going to not talk for a month. It's not even possible. Okay. It makes no sense as a concept. And just can't be busting people for what everyone knows is going on as being celebrated. I mean, how often do people employed by the league basically tweet almost literally put winking emojis in there? Not official till Wednesday.
I know. Well, the team accounts were saying we can't like, hey guys, just a reminder, we can't say this is official, but it's exciting.
Yeah, I know. They would like then link like an article or something. So it certainly seems official.
It's weird, Dan.
It is weird. It's just not it's a very incoherent system.
Yeah.
It needs to be cleaned up.
It's like determining what a catch is, almost.
It is like determining what a catch is. Speaking of an incoherent system, the Jacksonville Jaguars' methods for trying to re-sign Calvin Ridley, they didn't want to seal the deal until free agency officially began on Wednesday.
4:01 p.m. on Wednesday. They had all the paperwork written up.
Yeah, they were trying to make sure that the pick they owed the Falcons for Calvin Ridley would turn into a third rounder instead of a second rounder. But by allowing Calvin Ridley to reach the open market, they allowed other people to make better offers. And Trent Baalke, now down horrendous, literally right before the podcast began, I was sifting through a Fire Baalke hashtag on Twitter. So Jags fans are very, very upset, as they should be, because they lost Calvin Ridley for no reason. Some people will say the Titans signed Calvin Ridley for no reason. And that was kind of my initial reaction. Like, why are the Titans doing this? Like, they're not good. Like, this makes no sense. Like, who cares? They're going nowhere. But then I was like, oh, well, yeah, it actually is good to sign good players. But then I was wondering, is Calvin Ridley actually good? Is Calvin Ridley actually good, Denny? And what does the signing mean for the Tennessee Titans?
I don't know if we can answer that properly without seeing a different kind of usage for Calvin Ridley, because his usage was suboptimal, I would say, last year. Nothing over the middle, nothing in the intermediate area.
The underdog guys, their friends Josh Norris and Hayden Winks, were just begging for moth targets.
Yes.
In breaking routes for Calvin Ridley last year, and they never
did. And as we've talked about ad nauseum on this show, everything was low percentage shots to the sideline, and that, yeah, sometimes that works, and sometimes you have a big game. Most of the time you don't, okay? And so therefore he was very frustrating from a fantasy standpoint. I do have some numbers though that show he had two good games last year. Would you like to guess who he was facing
The Jags didn't make the playoffs, so you only play a handful of teams twice in a season. That narrows the numbers down.
So here's the thing. He crushed the Titans last year.
Seriously, like clockwork.
This I didn't even have to look. I mean, I had to look in order to see the actual numbers, but I knew when they signed him, I said, well, he must have done really well against Tennessee last year. That's the only reason anyone would shovel piles of money, swimming pools full of money at Calvin Ridley, who at times last year looked, you know, not a little bit washed. We gotta be honest about it. But so last year, Calvin Ridley, 209 yards on 18 catches against the Titans, 3 touchdowns. 21% of his total yardage last year came in 2 games against Tennessee. So we all think this is like a magical formula that teams try to apply to free agents. Here's what it matters. Did you do well against us? That's what matters.
You really buried the lead, by the way. Calvin Ridley has played one football game in the calendar year 2024, January 7th. In Nashville, Tennessee, 6 catches, 106 yards, and a touchdown. So not only did he do well against them, Denny, it was the most recent game. Yes. So they've been sitting there stewing on this guy. We're going to get even. You know how we're going to get even with them?
We're going to get him.
By signing him, folks.
By giving him so much money that no one else could even look to sign him.
So like it was a 1,000-yard season. So it was a disappointing season where he still had 1,000 yards. He still scored 8 touchdowns despite being a smaller guy. Quarterback didn't play well in the process, Trevor Lawrence. But now the huge questions, of course, for Calvin Ridley, Kyle. He's going to receive a core that already includes an alpha, a fading alpha, in DeAndre Hopkins, and a young quarterback that we have no idea if he's good. Will Levis likes to throw the deep ball. So, yeah, that's probably not great. All he likes to do is throw the deep ball. We're talking about how he needs more, like, short and intermediate targets.
Exactly.
I think it's a better fit. It's a better fit for Will Levis than it is for Calvin Ridley in terms of, like, if Calvin Ridley likes accumulating stats, which, like, one, you know, players, like, are trying to win games, but two, good stats help you get future contracts. So I would also want to be, like, a 1,400-yard receiver because I'd want to make more money down the road. And as you pointed out, Will Levis doesn't just like the deep ball. He likes the deep ball more than anyone since Tim Tebow in 2011. He has the highest deep ball rate of any single season since Tim Tebow, 2011. Like, he's just chucking it. He's out there chucking it.
Man,
yes. I know, man. I kept flipping through the years. I was like, okay, it's 2015. We got to find someone. It's 2016. We got to find someone. And nope, you just keep scrolling back, and eventually you get to Tim Tebow. So I think if Will Levis is going to continue with that style, getting Calvin Ridley, whose previous team said, you play on the outside, you get deep shots, and he earned a lot of those deep shots. Like, I think a lesser player wouldn't have seen as many targets, wouldn't have gotten to 1,000 yards on such a, like, specific and hard-to-win-at role. That's a pretty good player to add to a quarterback who just wants to chuck it. But for Calvin Ridley, it makes me think the role will not change a ton.
Calvin Ridley, by the way, man, it's frustrating to see this keep happening. He made his one elite season, the 1,300-yard season, was all about being a route tactician and just, like, so good in and out of his breaks. He's fine down the field. But it was about him being, like, a guy who did steps 10 out of 10 always on every route. Like, he was dotting his I's and crossing his T's. And it's, why does he keep getting employed as not that kind of player?
I mean, that was a long time ago, too.
It was. Mm-hmm. It was a long time. Long was, time. And, I had only two children.
wow. Yeah, that was a long time ago. You've got eight.
That was before you had seven. Kyle, I can't top that stat, that Tebow stat, which is really good, but I just want to throw this in there. In the check down piece that I wrote about players checking down against two high safeties, no one was even close to Will Levis's deep ball rate against two high safeties. last year. So he's not, I wrote in the piece, he ain't reading all that.
No.
He's throwing it downfield. I thought this would be good for Treylon Burks, who had a really high air yards.
I remember that guy.
I've got so many Treylon Burks stats on a little Google Doc. You guys are going to be sick.
Let me tell you, it's Jover for Burks. Like, oh, yeah. This signing is, that's it. That's it, folks. Like, wrap
Full
it
disagree.
Up.
Full disagree. Full disagree.
Wrap it up. It's over.
No, it's never been more over.
I mean, it was probably over for Burks either way, but I actually do think, like, this is what Burks needed. His usage last year was so dumb. He had an ADOT of 18. You know who he was? You know who he was in college? Primary slot, like nearly 80% of his routes in the slot, and extremely hard to bring down with the ball in his hands. He wasn't, like, we'll talk about Rondale Moore later. Rondale Moore was like running back ADOT. You know, he wasn't that. He was still 12 ADOT, actually almost on the dot. His first year in the NFL, 12 ADOT, and within 1%, the same rate of routes coming out of the slot. His first year in the NFL was fine. He was a little banged up, but he was like top 30 in PFF receiving grade and yards per route run. That's okay. Like, for a first round receiver on a bad team, you think if he takes a step forward, that's good. And of course, he bombed in his second year. Wasn't like near league bottom in yards per route run and in PFF receiving grade. And what did that coincide with? His ADOT increasing from 12 to 18 and his slot rate dropping by 10%. He's a really good receiver out of the slot. I don't know if he's going to be much more of that in the NFL, but hopefully this puts him in a full-time slot role where he is a player can succeed. I don't know if as a fantasy asset this helps him, but he needed to be placed in a different role. He's not an outside deep threat. He's really bad on deep targets last
year. What if they
year.
Decide that, like, Calvin Ridley needs to be used more in the slot, though? Like, are we really for sure they're just going to kick Treylon Burks into the slot?
Oh, no, I'm not sure they're going to do that, but Ridley is – I mean, we saw the last team Ridley was with say, like, yeah, buddy, you're not getting the slot. You're not getting easy targets. And that's kind of what Will Levis is all about. So connecting the dots there, I think he's going to be a primary outside guy. I don't, like – Burks is clearly the third receiver. When they move into two receiver sets, he probably comes off the field. But, like, it's fine. He was terrible on deep targets last year. He didn't catch any of his four contested catches, and he had one of the worst drop rates on deep targets. He had, like, nearly the worst PFF receiving grade on deep targets. Don't make him run that far downfield. He's too thick to be running that far downfield. Put him in the slot and let him run someone over with the ball on, like, a 9-8 out target.
Let's set a really low bar. Is Calvin Ridley still a top 24 wide receiver? He struggling to do that last year.
No.
I would say no, but I do think, depending on usage, he could have some, you know, some kind of blow up weeks.
I think he will too.
Yeah.
Who scores more PPR fantasy points, DeAndre Hopkins or Calvin Ridley?
Hopkins by a good margin, I think.
Agreed.
I think it'll be
Hopkins was.
I think it'll be Ridley. I still think Hopkins could, like, get traded or something.
Oh well, I mean, then yes, it would be Ridley. Sure.
I think, man, it's kind of weird that Nuke has, like, staved off decline because he looked done briefly.
There was one year, and then he got popped for steroids, and coincidentally, he's been great since then.
He has been
incredible.
Great ever since, even since post steroid return.
No, obviously, it's not an issue anymore.
Very curious.
It was right before that, right before the little suspension, that, like, he totally looked done. It happens to everyone. He was probably, like, 28 at the 27 at the time. And since then, he's like back to being a full-time like alpha wide receiver. So I buy him as still the team's number one.
So by the way, I said the Tim Tebow deep ball percentage thing was a cursed stat, and looking for, people need to tweet at me afterwards. Curious, they made the playoffs that year.
Oh.
I was told Tim Tebow was bad.
Was 2011 the they beat the Steelers year?
2011 was the magic year, I believe. Or was it 2010?
No,
it was
2011. I don't know.
It was 2011. 2011. He was drafted in 2010. What a strange story. He did. The only time he was ever a starter, he did lead them to the playoffs. And
I grew up a big Yinzer, so my family's West PA. And that one touchdown throw over the Steelers in the playoffs.
Broke just, hearts. And his reward was they signed Peyton Manning.
Well, he got to play receiver for the Jets in the preseason, which is kind of cool.
And then he played outfield for the Mets. Oh, man, what an absolutely cursed life.
Wow. I watched him play baseball once. He played on a minor league team close to me.
I do remember him playing for the Patriots.
Wow, I vaguely remember that. We got to
remember him playing for the Jags?
Sounds like Tim Tebow's wiki is quite wild.
Oh, right. He went to Urban Meyer.
Yeah, he didn't make the team, but
I was sure. I was sure that he was going to be the starting tight end.
Totally forgot about that. So the Jaguars, good segue. They really wanted Calvin Ridley, apparently, and they did not get him, as we covered in. They did get Gabe Davis. Is this even good? Gabe, who couldn't take the next step under Josh Allen, the best deep ball thrower in the entire NFL, now linking up with one of the most consistently underwhelming deep ball throwers in Trevor Lawrence. It's like, what is this even supposed to do for the Jags? Even if Calvin Ridley's a miscast as the downfield guy, I mean, is there any proof Gabe Davis will be better in this role? It just seems like a whole lot of trouble for a lot of people here.
Davis never showed any real ability to command targets. And so if he had, even if there had even been a whisper of that in his stats, you know, when I was researching for the show, mm-hmm. 6 minutes before the show started,
I was gonna say 9 minutes ago, probably.
then I would have said, oh, there's a shot, you know, there's a shot that he could take the next step here as maybe a more of a priority in this passing game, because last year he was phased out. I mean, it was Diggs. Mm-hmm. It was Dalton Kincaid. It was anybody, really, but it was James Cook. It was anybody, but Gabe Davis. He's a cardio king. He's going to be out there. He's going to run a ton of routes. I mean, he's going to be like top six in routes, like in the league. But he's never going to get targeted.
Kyle, any alternate take on Gabe Davis? This is like the classic. There's a few signings ever for agency that are just widely first guessed. And Gabe seemed like he needed to be the number three on a team with another elite quarterback.
Yeah.
And said he's the number two on a team with a quarterback who kind of stuck in the mid zone. And yeah, I'm having trouble countering anything negative Denny said about Gabe Davis and Jacksonville.
No, I don't have a strong counter either. Last year is 91st in ESPN's open score, 58th in PFF receiving grade, 60th in yards per out run. I believe just outside the top 60 in targets per out run. I think you hit the nail on the head. He would be well-suited to be an elite quarterback's number three splash play guy. I think they're going to be asking too much of him as a good-ish quarterback's number two, who probably, for this money, needs to provide more than just the occasional splash play, but I don't think he's capable of that.
Who scores more fantasy points, PPR fantasy points, in 2024, Gabe Davis or Zay Jones?
It's like honestly not that crazy of a question to ask. I think Gabe because of how much they've committed to him, but like you tell me Zay Jones is out there earning targets and I kind of believe it. So I'll say Gabe, but like
I mean, think it's probably Zay, to be honest.
I just think I'm just afraid to say Zay.
the Jags, they love them some Zay Jones. We know this. So it's he's impossible to fade, I think, in that receiving group, no matter what happens. I would take Jones.
Man, Gabe Davis, what a cursed move. Sorry to use cursed again, but the second I saw Gabe to the Jags, I was like, man, we got to get Fire Balky trending. And then I did.
And that team is flailing.
I don't really
think that they have a direction, and it's probably going to eventually cost Peterson his job. You know, I think more questions will be coming about Trevor Lawrence sooner or later.
Nothing is smooth for that organization, and they like give. I feel that they seem well run. Like they don't seem like the Khan's father and son. Like they seem like their heart is in the right place. They don't really seem overly meddlesome.
No,
I don't understand how things just like can't go right there. Like,
yeah,
who's the GM for Balky? Because I've always been a bit suspect of Balky, but his
tenure Dave Caldwell, who did not do a good job.
Yeah, and Balky, I kind of had some qualms with how he ran San Francisco back 6 or 7 years ago now. It's been a while, but
it's been, yeah. Well, the Trent Baalke thing, like, so he fired one of the greatest coaches in American history, Jim Harbaugh, and then was the hand-picked GM of the worst NFL coach in recent history, Urban Meyer.
Wow.
Probably not a great sign when he's running your front office.
Yeah.
It's time.
It is. Yeah, just a lot of, like, suboptimal-seeming decisions from him. I don't think he's dreadful, but...
You see, the cons, they're not impatient. Like, they seem like they are doing the right things to succeed and just not getting the payoff.
So, something that, with all the Trent Baalke, misfires, something that kind of gets swept under the rug is Tank Bigsby.
Oh, God.
I mean...
That's low on the list of misfires.
Yeah, really. They
spent, like...
Third round pick.
Yeah, so that's real draft capital.
It is.
Tank Bigsby's probably a fine young man. I will say that no running back was worse in the NFL last year.
Not like an exaggeration. It's true. Wow.
Was no wide receiver worse than Deontay Johnson? No, Deontay was fine. He continued to drop the ball incessantly.
He cut the drops out last year.
No, he had a few very poorly timed drops.
Sure, but he had like the same drop rate as Amon-Ra St. Brown.
There's still some spectacular drops. And he also kind of like quit on the season, like live on the field a few times, and then kind of got going again down the stretch. He was not vibing with Mason Rudolph and who were the other Steelers? Kenny Pickett, that guy. Ooh,
forget Mitch Trubisky.
Yeah, remember Kenny Pickett? The Zoomers will not believe Kenny Pickett. They will not believe Kenny Pickett.
You want to feel old? This is Kenny Pickett now.
So Deontay had another star-crossed season. He was traded for essentially a bag of footballs to the Panthers. Like I said, he had like very poor body language on the field. Now he's going to Bryce Young.
Like, yeah.
They spent a world historic amount of money on guards. They're trying to improve Bryce Young's supporting cast, but how are we feeling about Deontay Johnson?
This is how we're feeling. Deontay Johnson, you know, I think he wants to win. He also wants the ball very much. He's probably not bad, actually. Kyle referenced Open Score, ESPN's Open Score.
That's how everyone talks. It's Open Score, man. Deontay, he's just always open over there. Yeah. It's real easy. All you can do is get open 5 yards. Good. That's great.
No, last year he had a career high 8-on. He had like a 12 8-on.
Was it up
year.
To? Oh, wow. The 8-on is up to 7.1.
12. It was 12 last year. 12 is a real legitimate NFL wide receiver.
Brutal. I mean, the guy gets open. Like, people were like, oh, he hasn't been relevant in 5 years. He was a top 10 fantasy receiver 2 years ago.
The only time he's ever had 1,000 yards, and he's 28 years old in July.
Look, I'm not saying that he's Jerry Rice, Pat, but he's probably the greatest. He's the second greatest Panthers receiver already in the history of the franchise.
Did the Panthers add someone else, by the way? I'm forgetting.
He's also Deontay Johnson will also be demanding a trade by Halloween.
Now, I was going to say, someone tweeted at me, not to get political, he will be demanding a trade by Election Day, which I believe is after the trade deadline. But
it definitely is.
He's going to want out immediately. This team is not going to Dave Canales has already said, wait till I show you how much we're going to run the ball. I can't wait to show you. Okay? So you have the number one overall pick as your quarterback from 2 years ago, and you're bragging about how much you're going to run the ball. Deontay Johnson is going to see 3 targets per game, and he's not going to like that.
And Deontay is like, all right, I'm getting traded. Like, it's kind of scary to leave the only team I've ever known. But there's no way the quarterback play could be worse than Mitch Trubisky, Kenny Pickett, and Mason.
Wait, buddy, just wait. You got to learn how to speak traded to the Titans on Halloween, buddy.
Kyle, Deontay Johnson, top 24 wide receiver in PPR this year. Yay or nay?
Yeah, I think he's good. I think he's earning a lot of targets. It's nice that you gave me full PPR. If you give me half, I'd at least have to run the numbers a little bit more. But full PPR does us a little Deontay Johnson favor. I mean, he's coming off of like the best year of his career. Like,
well, that's real bad. He had 700 yards.
He was banged up, I think.
He was. He missed 3 games.
And also, the Steelers were terrible, which is kind of impressive that you could have a career year on that team. But he's coming off a career high in yards per route run, yards per catch, PFF receiving grade. And as I pointed out, he helped clear up the drop issues. Like, he was consistently one of the worst receivers in drop rate for years. And last year was fine. He was actually well above average in drop rate while also pushing his ADOT down the field. Because that's another qualm with him. It's like, do you really want to run your offense through Deontay Johnson, given that he's not like a strong yak producer, but he's also not a downfield threat? Last year, he pushed the A-dot to a career high easily as well. I mean, we'll see how much they run the football. If they're like a run pass team, that would be frustrating. But it's not like last year the Bucs were a run pass team. They're given every chance they can to Bryce Young. They're spending a lot on the interior of the offensive line this offseason. They are spending now a pretty good chunk of money at receiver. I think Deontay's good. And they've hired what we thought was like, oh my God, the Panthers made a smart head coaching hire. We were like shocked about it, frankly. Yeah. Like this is already like a make or break season for Bryce because they're doing whatever they can. The resources weren't like, you know, they weren't like the Commanders with a second overall pick and $70 million in cap space. They're already a little tight on money, and obviously they're tight on cap space, but they're tight on draft capital. They're doing everything they can with the resources they have to support Bryce Young. So
we know it's make or break for Bryce Young. It's a little hard to say since he's the number one overall pick, but I mean, Kenny Pickett benched after 2 years, Sam Darnold benched after 2 years. It's a not infrequent occurrence. I mean, Josh Rosen benched after like 10 games. So it might sound melodramatic to say it's make or break for Bryce Young, but it very, very much is, especially since they hired, like, this is the guy who revived Geno and revived Baker Mayfield.
Right.
So it's like an up and down referendum basically on if Bryce Young can be saved.
Up or down.
Just a simple yes or no vote, folks, whether or not we remain in the European Union. What could go wrong? Good time for a break. We'll be right back after this. This week, the best on the PGA Tour take on TPC Sawgrass for the 50th time at the Players' Championship. Don't miss the best golfers in the world Thursday through Sunday on NBC Golf Channel with all rounds streaming on Peacock. Comcast Business is also a proud partner of the Players' Championship, in addition to Optum and Morgan Stanley.
While no one knows what tomorrow may bring, Bridgestone is working toward a more positive outlook. With innovations like developing a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials. It's just one of the many ways Bridgestone is making a difference today for generations to come. Because that's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Spring Black Friday savings are happening now at the Home Depot and also at your front door. Get spring savings delivered to you with free delivery on over 2 million items. Everything you need for spring cleaning, patio decorating, and front yard gardening sent right to you. And if you need it fast, get same day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Spring your way with Spring Black Friday savings only at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
A little less pre-show crying today from Denny about his lineup. So you're off to a good start, actually.
It's not a bad start. I have a lot of Rory, who is.
That sounds well. Like Cope. Then I've got Rory. Surely
playing,
Rory won't let me down.
Well, for the first time since 2016. So give me a break. Also, I'd like to report just quickly that I have I've Gim pilled our own Jay Croucher. Doug Gim is a golfer. And I talked him up on Bet the Edge the other day. And then Jay went on the Golf Channel and talked up Doug Gim. So he is Gim. The nation will be Gim-pilled sooner or later.
You poisoned our nation's golf supply with Doug Gim?
See, Doug Gim-pilled sounds like an immediate trip to urgent care.
Only if you like DFS bucks.
Wow. Yeah. They've geo-blocked my DFS and my urgent care where I go for getting Gim.
In the urgent care specifically.
Only in the urgent care. You needed to send some dynasty football players to urgent care after their guy Rondale Moore got traded to the Falcons. Although they will immediately begin coping by saying he finally has a real quarterback in Kirk Cousins, even though Kyle was coping before the show by watching his 2018 college highlights on YouTube.
He was mixing it up. He cooked the Buckeyes so bad in 2018. I almost transferred.
So Rondale Moore has at least 40 catches all 3 years in the NFL. That's the good news, but Bad news. It was a bad coaching staff for 2 years in Arizona. They never figured out how to use him. The new coaching staff didn't have much interest in how to use him. He's 5'7". They didn't want small guys. They wanted big guys. Mm-hmm. The Falcons, it's going to be a more creative coaching staff with a more pass-first approach with Kirk Cousins, but it's gotten to be a more crowded receiver core because Darnell Mooney was signed before Rondale Moore was acquired. And Rondale's still only 23. He turns 24 this summer. But is it unwise to basically create expectations for Rondale Moore in 2024?
Denny Carter. Yeah, don't have expectations. All right. You can have like, oh, I've got him on my taxi squad on a 45 roster spot dynasty league level expectations. But like it would be good to see him contribute some inconsistent, frankly, splash plays. And he needs, I think at this point, like a oddly specific role. Like he's done really well as a running back. Last year, 28 carries, 178 yards and a touchdown, well over 6 yards a carry. And he's done well as a running back, like catching passes out of the backfield too. But like, that's such a specific role for an NFL wide receiver. You just hope for splash plays. We don't have fantasy hopes for him. I don't think, at least.
Denny, do you have any fantasy hopes for Rondale Moore?
I do not, but I wanted to point out that he had 45 of his 61 targets last season came either behind the line of scrimmage or within 9 yards of the line of scrimmage. Let's talk about open score. I'm going to bring it up again, folks. Open score, I actually don't really know how like ADOT is factored into this because Rondale Moore is, you know, not running traditional wide receiver routes. So just know that, but he ranked 127th out of 153 qualifying receivers in open score. He was neck and neck with Quentin Johnston.
Mm. Oh. Yikes! For his career, I mean, it's the ultimate boomer stat, but it's a little telling in a large sample size. Yards per catch on 135 career catches is 8.9. Which that would be considered pretty good for a running back, like nearing elite for a running back. You want to be over 8 for a running back. For a it'd be poor for a tight end though, 8.9. Sure. It's catastrophic for a wide receiver.
I think the one hope that you might have is that Zach Robinson, the offensive coordinator for Atlanta, might have some ideas. You know, some ideas to.
You definitely think you have ideas if you're trading for Rondale Moore, which is almost a sign of overconfidence. I mean, let's go out and trade for get Rondale, Dale in here.
He's shifty.
Yeah. I love Purdue. I went to Purdue. Like, and the GM's like, oh my God, he went to Purdue. crap. I was like, why didn't I look that up before I signed up on the trade? This guy was watching Purdue every week. And now we traded for Rondale Moore. So, I think Zach Robinson went to Oklahoma State, by the way.
Wow. How do you know that?
That's crazy.
Because he was a quarterback. You guys don't remember Zach Robinson?
I was probably like 9 years old. Of course, I don't remember.
He's my age. He's 36.
So I was 4 years old then.
Yeah, I went to Oklahoma State. I was in the Big 12. Where you guys been?
Bro,
What year did he play?
He graduated in 2010.
Okay, so I was 13.
He's a year younger than me, apparently. He's only a month younger than me. But this guy's a month younger than me, but he went to college a year younger. What's this guy doing? Come on, man. Not that hard of a school. You can get out of there in 4 years.
Oh, man. Rondale Moore in 2018, 12 catches, 170 yards, 2 tutties versus Ohio State. Another 24 yards rushing, 3 kick returns, and another punt return. These are the days.
Those were the days. Those were the days of our Tavon Austin lives.
Those were the days.
Our producer, Adam, says our guy, Zach Robinson, was redshirted.
He was, but if you're any good, you're not there the fifth year, man. Zach Robinson, what are you doing?
I mean, Zach Robinson's main claim to fame is that he went to preschool with Pete Overzet.
Wow. Is this true? What?
There are pictures.
Wow, there are pictures, and that's why Pete now lives in Stillwater, Oklahoma.
Cut to us 2 hours later. How did the show go 3 hours? What took us so long?
Pete would thrive in Stillwater, Oklahoma. We are moving on to, this framing is real bad. It said, who is more done, Mike Williams or Mike Thomas?
I think it's fair.
The answer is, of course, Mike Thomas. But let's talk about Mike Williams and Mike Thomas. I mean, Mike Williams, I feel the way they did him dirty. I just feel like they did him dirty. You tear your ACL, then you get cut. Oh, that's real sad.
Oh, and then the team account says nothing but love.
I know. I couldn't help but highlight. Someone, by the way, said I needed to write an article on my tweets about teams' reactions.
Yeah, you're signings. No, we're letting you cook. You're being allowed to cook with the team accounts, because the team accounts are trying to cope right now.
They're coping so ridiculously hard.
And so they actually like take a Led Zeppelin lyric and they're like, "Whole lot of love, Mike. You tore your ACL and now you're out on your butt."
So, but Mike Williams clearly has more left in the tank than Mike Thomas. Correct?
Can I just real quick talk about Mike Thomas's somewhat recent injury history? Yes, because I needed to wrap my mind around it, because it's just become, you know, part of the background. Oh, Mike Thomas is injured. But here's what it is. Okay. So, September 2020. High ankle sprain, the highest ankle sprain you have ever seen. Okay?
Seriously. I've never been higher.
So he comes back in October, which I forgot, and he immediately injures his hamstring. He comes back in December of 2020, and he suffers another high ankle sprain, okay? So he misses all of 2021 while recovering from the highest ankle sprain in the history of humanity. August 2022, hamstring injury. September 2022, dislocated toe. And November 2023, MCL sprain. He missed the rest of the season. I don't really know where it goes from here. I will say that, you know, if you're looking for anything, there's nothing to point to that would be positive for Michael Thomas, including the following. His target per route run in his heyday in like 2018, 2019 was north of 30%. Okay. Last year in 9 games, it was 20%. So that's a huge
drop. That sounds like a 10% decrease, but it's a 50% decrease going from
He has 95 catches and 95 catches in 20 games since 2019, and he's 31 or 32 now. It's this real
33% decrease. Be clear. Don't hit me in the comments. I don't want to hear it. It's going the other direction. It's going up. It's about to go down.
So Mike Williams had a lot of minor injuries before last year, where he did suffer the big one, the torn ACL. He's going to be 30. He's always missed a few games per season, but he's got a better health history overall than Michael Thomas, even though he's got the worst injury in the torn ACL. We see any bounce back potential for Mike Williams in 2024. If he went down like week 4 last year, so he actually had probably a fairly solid chance of being ready for week 1. But, I mean, it seems like a guy's probably destined to be a role player at this stage of his career, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Anything worth – we're going to be talking about Mike Williams in fantasy in 2024. Let's put it that
way. I'll say we'll be talking about him in fantasy adjacent. You know, I don't think we'll be talking about him like we used to. But, like, he was – 3 games, so I don't want to read into it too much. But he was looking good through 3 games. He averaged 2.3 yards per route run. That was going to be easily a career high. He was on – obviously, it's 3 games. There were 3 fun games for the Chargers. He was on pace for 108 catches, 1,400 yards, and 6 scores. He had, like, 3 really good games to start the year. I do think it's really tough for a guy who's like jump ball prowess and just his physical dominance coming off of a catastrophic knee injury. Like, he wasn't the best tactician with his routes and with his like body manipulation. So I think the fact that his burst might be significantly hampered is very scary. But like you said, it's a relatively lenient recovery table having it happen in the first month of the season. He was looking really good in that first 3 games. I hope he finds the right spot, because I still think he could provide like pretty consistent splash plays. Honestly, we talk about like, oh, can Gabe provide the occasional splash play, or can Calvin really do that more consistently? If Williams like can come close to what he was last year in the past few years, he'd be a great flyer for a team looking for that now probably number 3 role.
Kansas City, man, get him to Kansas City.
I actually totally agree with Kansas City,
man. Yeah. That'd be
or
cool.
Buffalo. Like
I somewhere. Think maybe Buffalo would be better, because I think Kansas City just wants a fast guy on the outside. They just want someone who forces a safety to be farther back. Whereas Buffalo will actually throw to the guy. Buffalo Josh Allen will throw to the guy who is playing the MVS Gabe type of role.
Well,
MVS's role was always just to cause a safety to be 25 yards downfield.
I agree, but I do think that it might be a skill issue here in commanding downfield.
It's also a skill issue, to be clear. You are 100% right. You know, MVS not earning targets is also a function of who MVS is.
Well, so, when he earned them, he would let them hit him in the bread basket and then bounce harmlessly.
So you're right about that. You are right about that.
I mean, and that's why I was saying, you know, Darnell Mooney would have fit in Kansas City because I think he's way better than a guy like MVS or Justin Watson. Like, if you can get guys who can actually beat two high safeties and come down with those contested catches, and that's Mike Williams' game, that makes so much sense. I'm so glad I thought of it. Come on, Chiefs, do it.
It would be amazing. And you know that, like, the divisional thing enhances his odds of signing there. I'm sure he's had a good game against the Chiefs at some point.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We could never cover this guy. And then someone, like, looks up his stats. Looks like he has, like, 9 catches in 6 career games against you guys. Like,
right.
He was a handful.
But all of them came in one game, and that's the one you remember.
Yeah, exactly. He was a handful, though. So Mike Williams, it's going to be a while. He probably will be around training camp, I bet, when he signs. It's going to have to be a one-year prove-it deal, too, because all the money will be dried up. Moving back to quarterback, we didn't get to this one on Tuesday. They were both already signed by the time we went live on Tuesday. But Jacoby Brissett to New England Patriots, Gardner Minshew to the Raiders. Do we like either of these for, like, the short-term fantasy prospects of the skill cores in these respective towns? Because we know Jacoby Brissett, Gardner Minshew, they're not going to be QB1s in fantasy. Denny, do you like – looks like you're gearing up for a thought. Do you like Jacoby Brissett better in New England or Gardner Minshew better in Las Vegas?
I wanted to quickly just point out with Mike Williams, in 2022, he had a game against the Chiefs, 8 catches, 113 yards, and a touchdown. So.
That's on.
I literally have his PFF rate page up, and I'm doing the same thing.
That's on.
Yeah, it is done. Just mark him. Just give him a Chiefs jersey. I'm in on Minshew, not because I think he's a huge upgrade over Aiden O'Connell, but because I think he brings.
You don't think a Pro Bowler is an upgrade on Aiden O'Connell?
Oh, that's curious. Oh, I forgot about the Pro Bowl.
Pro Bowl never been down worse.
No, it hasn't. So I think he brings, like, some very much needed variance to a Raiders offense that was very stagnant and sort of boring and predictable with Aiden O'Connell. Look, Aiden O'Connell is like a bottom 2 or 3 quarterback, no matter how you cut it. Okay. I think Minshew is a bottom 10 quarterback, here's the thing. Here's the big difference. He's willing to let it rip downfield sometimes, which Aiden O'Connell did not at all last year. And Michael Pittman was targeted on 29% of his routes when Minshew was throwing passes to him, was under center for Indianapolis last year. So I think he fully will understand the mission at hand, which is to throw it to Davante Adams every second or third drop back. And that's what he'll do.
My worry with Jacoby Brissett in New England, it's 1 year sample size, and it wasn't very much. Everyone talks about how underrated Jacoby Brissett has been, which is true. Although, I mean, he was 4-7 as Browns starter in 2022. It must be noted. But he's become like a guy Twitter loves to claim is underrated.
Yeah.
I do worry as a 32-year-old backup, he's already looking like the kind of player the second he checks in gets injured, which of course happened last year.
He's
with the Commanders.
Just looking like this. I don't think – does he have like an injury history?
I don't know. He's been hurt a few times. But it seems like those backups, once they get – it's like their 30s, like they don't stay. It seems like they get hurt the second they check into a game.
Yes.
Like the Tyrod Taylor syndrome, kind of. Like, no one loves to get hurt more. Teddy Bridgewater, Mark Brunell back in the day. I'm trying to think of backups who used to instantly get hurt.
Colt McCoy.
Oh, my God. I mean, my God.
Yeah.
My God. Our guy.
Colt McCoy, like, would have, like, terrifying injuries every time he came.
Jacoby Brissett loves to hold the ball a long time too, and I don't know. I just feel like he's an injury waiting to happen for the Patriots, who are also going to have a rookie quarterback anyway. So it's probably not even really worth time. I like the Minshew thing; it's fine. Minshew has become the point where he's become so people got so annoyed with him being overrated that he's kind of underrated, and he's like he's just fine enough to be an NFL starting quarterback. He's the 18th best starter in the NFL.
I'm an 18th, but
that's good for Davante Adams.
I think that he's significantly better than a guy like Minshew.
Denny, giving your truth serum, you have to win a game this Sunday.
Yeah.
But you either have Gardner Minshew or
Trevor Lawrence.
I mean, come on. I like to say provocative things, but I will not say that. I would go with Trevor Lawrence.
And we know in your heart you're thinking Gardner Minshew.
I mean, if you gave me two and a half hard seltzers, my answer would be different. But
yeah, he's better than Trevor Lawrence. Everyone knows this.
All right. I mean, Minshew. Look, I wanted. I pored over the stats on Minshew, looking for anything to hold on to. There's nothing.
There is nothing. He gets so overexposed. It's a miracle he didn't get more overexposed last year.
It's actually crazy how bad he was at times last year.
It was. Man, he loved to single-handedly try to lose games last year. We love to single-handedly take a really short break. We'll be right back after this. Spring training is here, so for those looking to get ahead on the upcoming MLB season, grab your Roto-World Baseball Draft Guide. It's loaded with comprehensive positional rankings, projections, and player profiles to ensure your draft is a success. Visit NBCSports.com/draft guide and use promo code BASEBALL24 to get 10% off at checkout. And don't forget, find all your favorite NBC Sports shows on Amazon Music. Just head to Amazon.com/NBCSports.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
Bring on spring projects with Spring Black Friday savings from The Home Depot. With free delivery on over 2 million items, you can bring on the spring cleaning, the patio decorating, and the front yard gardening. And if you need it fast, get same-day delivery on thousands of products like fertilizer and seeds to keep your yard looking beautiful. Bring on the spring doing and spring your way only at The Home Depot. How doers get more done. Order select in-stock items by 4 p.m. subject to availability.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
I can't even keep it together now trying to say six. I don't know how I haven't rewritten this promo.
Complete
yet.
Disaster.
I can't even. I'm seriously just crumbling the second it happens. And like, if you ask me to say success in a normal sentence, I say it easily. Producer, it is on me to rewrite. I was not blaming Adam.
Yeah, I
desperately just need to rewrite.
You need promo. To take 12 seconds and rewrite that promo.
To ensure your MLB season is a triumph. How about that? Anyone ever think of that?
No. I mean, you say triumph really well.
I say success when it's a normal sentence, perfectly fine.
It's mostly fine. Yeah,
it's all right. Yeah, it's fine.
It's not all the way there. You know who is all the way there is Mike Gesicki. He's in Cincinnati. This is the same role. They got CJ Uzama paid. They got Irv Smith. Yeah, he didn't do anything in this role. Hayden Hurst, though, got him paid. We like to take like deep shots down the seam in Cincinnati, apparently. How do we feel about Mike Gesicki, who, man, just doghoused back-to-back years in Miami and New England? Our guy, we don't like tight ends that are good at blocking. We do like tight ends that can occasionally throw a block. Mike Gesicki, not his thing. How do we feel about Mike Gesicki in the Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio, Denny Carson?
Charlotte is also the Queen City, and I think we deserve it.
I have so many Queen Cities. Cast them more unique, like the Gateway City of St. Louis. Who's got thoughts on Mike Gesicki?
So I do think that this is the one situation where he can get away with never blocking once this season. Because, you know, this Bengals offense is among the pass heaviest in the league. They're going to put him in the slot. Basically, you know, like we always hear about Mike Gesicki, big slot, big slot, big slot. Okay, but he's actually going to get to do it here. In New England, come on. I mean, we joked about it before the season. Bill Belichick would be like, who's a tight end who doesn't block? What are you kidding me?
Belichick never once made eye contact with Mike Gesicki.
Yeah, absolutely. Mike Gesicki was not allowed to actually talk to Bill Belichick directly.
No.
So he can do. I think he can do that in Cincinnati, and I think that makes him interesting. I mean, you know, Hayden Hurst, 70 targets over 13 games with them in 2022. It's sort of hard to parse out the tight end stuff from 2023 because Joe Burrow's multiple injuries and Jake Browning coming in and being shockingly good, so good he should be starting for the Tennessee Titans. I'm somewhat excited, even though I'm not a Gesicki guy. Like, I just want to be clear. Like, I'm
sure
not
sound like one.
No, I'm not a guy who's always like, oh, gee, he just needs the right, you know. So it's what I was hoping Gerald Everett would go to Cincinnati. We'll see if they can work with Gesicki.
Well, it is Mike Gesicki had three straight 50 catch seasons until the infamous franchise tag year of 2022. It seemed like every coach in the NFL simultaneously decided like hate him at the same time.
Yeah.
Kyle.
Yeah.
But he did actually catch passes at one point in his NFL career. Do you share in any of Denny's optimism for Mike Gesicki and the much older Queen City of Cincinnati, Ohio?
Yeah, I mean, he's been real bad these past 2 years. He was third to last in yards per outrun last year. Like, he was not much better the year before that. Like you said, though, he was a super athlete who was a good pass catcher early in his career. Just the farther we get away from those years and the consistently disappointing he is, the more I think he's not that player. But I will say we saw Tanner Hudson flourish in this role down the stretch last year on a sort of similar role. Hudson was like just a pass catching specialist, was playing very limited snaps, but all of his snaps were routes and about half of them were out of the slot. Gesicki's more like a 70-60% slot guy, so he's like even more specialized. But as much as I came into this thinking there's like no chance this works out, I think Denny sold me on there being a chance it works out, because the role is there for him and it's like kind of the role he played when he was good.
Yeah.
And unlike Irv Smith, Mike Gesicki has something resembling an NFL track record.
Yes.
Yeah. Yep.
So it could go a lot better.
They're losing Tyler Boyd, you know, so that the slot targets and routes will be open. The more I think about it, the more I'm becoming a Gesicki guy. I'm a Gesicki guy now.
Mike Gesicki, get ready to learn tight end 17, buddy. He was tight end like 28-9 last year.
But I'm gonna talk you up every single week on the Road to World.
I had forgotten, by the way, that our guy Tanner Hudson was thriving.
Oh, Hudson was sneaky. He was sneaky.
Things you forget by March. I was ranking Tanner Hudson at the end of last year. So it referenced Irv Smith. I think he caught, 18 passes in 12 games last year. He's never done anything. He's always hurt. He's too tiny. But the Chiefs,
other than that,
the Chiefs acted fast to sign him for some reason. Are we going to talk ourselves up on Irv Smith in Kansas City?
No.
Don't do that.
I mean, he's probably like the tight end three on that team. I mean, he might not make the team.
No.
Yeah.
But it is a little curious. I mean, you have priorities in the opening moments of free agency.
Yeah.
For whatever reason, one of theirs was signing.
That's true. I mean, obviously he's like way miles behind Kelsey, but like they have other tight ends who work really well in that system. So
yeah, he'll be lucky to be the tight end three. Like Noah Gray, I assume, will hold that role over him. And even though like timing wise they made him a priority, I think he's making very close to the veteran minimum, and he's been one of the least efficient tight ends in the NFL since entering the NFL. It's like
Irv Smith, good. This is not a joke, is still 25 years old.
Oh my God.
He turns 26 this summer, but yeah, he is still 25 years old. So it's almost like the Chiefs, like Andy Reid was like logged on to his dynasty team at the moment free agency started. But let's just try to sign him.
Let's give Irv Smith a call. Yeah. Irv, got any offers? Yeah. You got one.
But yeah, Irv, more fantasy points. In 2024, Irv Smith and Mike Gesicki, I'm assuming the answer is quite...
Oh, Gesicki easily. I think, like Denny said, Irv Smith, next hurdle to clear is make the roster.
Yeah, I know. Man, oof, Mike Gesicki, huh? We love our Mike Gesicki. It's okay. We didn't love the Irv Smith signing. Do you guys have a favorite signing so far, free agency? We'll begin with Denny Carter. Do you have a favorite signing of the first 3 to 4 days of free agency, Denny?
I mean, I hate to capitulate this hard.
Ooh, I love it. I know what it is.
Derrick Henry makes.
How could you not? How could you not?
I know. Look, Kyle, I tried to hold out. Okay. I tried to hold out, but I'm afraid to say that Pat has made some good points and he's going to score 15 touchdowns. And there's just no way around it.
Fantasy wise, it's going to be sick.
Yeah, sick. You just can't you can't get around the fact that he's going to score 15 touchdowns at least. And,
even real life. So not many teams are so committed to a two down back anymore. I mean, we know we have a lot of committees, but if you're like a strict two down back, that's frowned upon in today's NFL. But the Ravens have been committed to the two down back role for the entirety
right.
of
right.
the Lamar Jackson. Why don't you get an actually good
too.
If he gets any pass game involvement, it is over. Like,
I know.
This
guy too. When there's a huge difference between getting a screen target when Will Levis is the quarterback and when Lamar Jackson is the quarterback. I think they're a little more distracted by Lamar.
Can I tell you a very weird reaction that I got when I was tweeting out our Derrick Henry analysis, like whether it was written or on the pod. I got like five people being like, "Well, good luck to Derrick Henry's knees on those outside zone runs." And I was like, "Wait, who's saying this?" Like, so somebody in the football analysis ecosystem is like, "Derrick Henry can't survive in the outside zone." Right? What are we talking about? He has no history of knee injuries, none. Okay, and we're talking about what people will hit him unnecessarily in the knee region on the outside zone.
180 pound cornerback is going to hit Derrick Henry on the outside.
I think people have thought of trying to tackle Derrick Henry low before also.
Yeah, we're thinking too much. We're just thinking too – there's too much thinking going on.
We have too much to think.
Yeah, I feel like that's the perfect angle for him to, like, dribble someone's head off the ground like a basketball like he does twice a season.
Man.
But yeah, it needed to happen. The Ravens needed to try it. I'm sure it's not Kyle's favorite signing. What was your – because it is my favorite signing. I wanted to go – like I will say I did like – despite going alpha RB, you know, I was promoting Saquon Barkley to the Eagles before it happened too. Hard not to like the Zach Moss signing.
No, it was mine. I thought it was a really –
well, talk it up then, because in the context of running backs getting actual money, Zach Moss got a traditional zero RB deal, Kyle. Why do you like it?
Yeah, I think it was 2 years, $8 million with like 4 point something guaranteed, if I remember correctly. I don't know, maybe it's 5 guaranteed. It's not nothing for a running back, but I think it properly gauges what like running backs should be making, especially a good running back. He was very successful last year. As we talked about last show, we don't have to go too into it. He seemed to maybe wear down a little bit. Not many players can handle like 25 carries a game for more than a handful of games, but I don't think they're going to do that with him because they have a really explosive, good pass catching back in Chase Brown. I think they'll make a really strong 1-2 combo, and the investment between the two is so little.
And I didn't really expound upon why, because I have so many times already in the show, why I like Derrick Henry to the Ravens so much, but just thinking about, so when every defense is so scared of the quarterback's running ability, to actually have to account for the running back, to actually maybe also be scared of the running back, when for years it was either rookie J.K. Dobbins or post-rehab J.K. Dobbins or Gus Edwards, to at least have to account for Derrick Henry standing right there next to Lamar Jackson huddle. If nothing else, like the psychological effect on a defense will have an effect. But I don't think it's just psychological and intangibles. I think it'll just be a real effect of actually having to be scared of the Ravens starting running back.
Yes, absolutely. I do want to just as a throw in here, I want to say I really, the more I look into it strongly, I love Mooney to Atlanta. I think that for fantasy purposes, it's going to be up and down. He's going to have big weeks. He's going to have not so big weeks. But I do think it makes that offense a lot better because it gives them a legit downfield threat. I think Mooney is really good in that role.
God, we don't have to be like, we're not trying to be like super negative, but what is your least favorite signing or most questionable fit so far of free agency?
I thought this was a terrible signing. I think everyone should be fired for doing so. No, I'm just kidding. You pointed out last show that the Bears were really excited to get DeAndre Swift. I don't mind signing DeAndre Swift. I thought he was really interesting in Detroit, and it didn't work out really. I mean, he could have put up good numbers, but efficiency-wise, really didn't work out for him in Philadelphia. That's probably evidenced by the fact that they didn't have any interest in bringing him back. And for him to now be basically the seventh highest paid running back by most metrics, when they're not even going to pay him to, I don't think at least, handle a ton of touches because they have Khalil Herbert, they have Roschon Johnson. I just thought it was a weird, that seems like a misread of the market. I don't think signing DeAndre Swift is bad, but to give him like top 10 money and on a 3-year deal, it feels very odd to have him in that sort of second to third tier of running back contracts when, like, I wouldn't have batted an eye if he got, like, if he got the Zach Moss contract. That probably would have been a win, would have been my guess for him, given that, like I said, he put up counting stats, but he was pretty dreadful in the efficiency numbers. And he's always a player who coaches have, like, seemingly consistently throughout his time in Detroit, and the fact that the Eagles let him walk and always spelled him with someone like Kenneth Gainwell suggests he's a role player. He's a good bounce it outside, hit the home run guy, and you do not trust him with a lot of other things. You don't trust him with pass blocking. So it was weird, to say the least, to see him get that.
It was weird. And I mean, we're not privy to these negotiations. It just, I have a hard time believing it was necessary. Like, I don't know who spooked the Bears into thinking they had to give DeAndre Swift $24 million. It's not $24 million fully guaranteed, of course. Right. I guess they know the market. I guess there are other people out there. But it seemed like, man, it could have maybe relaxed. And it's the classic, like, if that was truly his market, let someone else win that negotiation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Denny, what was your least favorite fit so far of the first 4 days of free agency?
Tony Pollard to Tennessee just stinks. It just stinks because, I mean, it stinks for fantasy because now it's just Pollard and Tajay Spears are going to be eating into each other's workloads. We're not going to have any idea how they're going to be used. They're probably going to be juggled back and forth. One week, one guy gets the early down stuff, and the other guy gets the passing down stuff, and then it reverses the following week. And we're gonna spend, you know, countless hours trying to parse out exactly how they're being used. And we're never going to know. And the thing is, like Tajay Spears, the Titans GM at the combine was like singing his praises, and they clearly like him and think that he's a really good player, and he is a good player. He's top five in PFF's elusive rating among running backs. He's top 10 in open score among running backs. Like he's super, super efficient, incredibly fast, lots of burst. And then they bring in Tony Pollard to what? Like take Derrick Henry's role? Like what exactly is going on there? The Titans, like several teams, the Titans seem to have no real plan.
They do have no real plan. And that's really what my least favorite signing came down to. So one thing teams do when they don't have a good receiver core is they search like high and low for weapons. Like we got to get a weapon in the offense. Like it's so hard to find elite receivers. We got to get like playmaking ability where we can. And I've noticed over the years, flailing teams absolutely love to sign pass catching backs. And the New England Patriots signed Antonio Gibson when they already have like Antonio Gibson on the roster, essentially, and Ramondre Stevenson, like better Antonio Gibson. And I just didn't understand giving a real financial commitment to Antonio Gibson or how they think this is going to further the project of bringing along Jaden Daniels or J.J. McCarthy or whoever. And it just seemed like the ultimate move. So the Patriots have been so bad about making moves just to make moves as they've tried to fix their receiver core. Instead of like drafting and developing, they just keep throwing money at the problem, which, as we know, never, ever, ever works. And Bill Belichick's gone, and they're still just like throwing money in it. I don't know what the process could have been for signing Antonio Gibson when Ramondre Stevenson's already on the roster. You don't want Ramondre Stevenson to be a three down back. That's fine. Like get a more like complementary skill set then. And like, why have Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson like fighting for targets? It's just gonna be a headache for all involved. In fantasy, it's not going to matter. We're not going to be on Antonio Gibson. I feel like it's gonna be an absolute headache for the Patriots coaches, like divvying up targets between Ramondre Stevenson and Antonio Gibson. And I just don't understand it at all.
I mean, they were set with Stevenson. I don't get what they're doing here. Like Stevenson has been really good when given an opportunity, and they bring in Antonio Gibson after he has proven again and again and again that he's not really that good of a running back. And I think you're right, Pat. I think this comes down to saying, because this is what we're going to hear from the Patriots this offseason. Gibson is not a running back. Don't you dare call him a running back.
Oh, yeah, it's coming, isn't it?
He's a weapon. He's a weapon. And they might even list him on the depth chart as offensive weapon.
Oh yeah, OW, again, which equals oh brother. Oh brother, they're doing it again. Speaking of doing it,
we got a trade.
So speaking of doing it again, folks, Drew Lock, the heir apparent to Drew Lock, Sam Howell, is now the official apparent to Drew Lock in Seattle. He's been acquired in a pick swap. It appears huge draft capital being expended by the Seattle. Now, Sam Howell's there. They seem pretty lukewarm. I will say the new brain trust on Geno Smith, Sam Howell landed in a place where I feel like maybe you could actually see some playing time in 2024. He's not going to push for the starting job this summer. Any thoughts at all on the top of your head, off the top of your head, on Sam Howell to Seattle?
Well, we know what's going on with the number two pick. That's for sure.
Yeah, we do. Yeah, absolutely do. Yeah, we do. And we know what's going on with the number two quarterback. Talk about one of the more pointless moves. Marcus Mariota is the Commanders' number two quarterback.
Just, I mean, I didn't even know he was in the league. He walked away from the Falcons and no one knew where he went. And then the next thing you know, he's signing with Washington. What, can we address the elephant in the room? You left your team, buddy.
Yeah. Right. I guess had a strange career. Like, about as strange as it gets. Kyle, I mean, as much as it's possible to have thoughts on Sam Howell to Seattle, do you have
any? I kind of think he's an okay backup, and if it's just a pick swap, like, I think one of the lessons we learned the past 2 years is that as much as, the all-time, Peyton Manning quote was like, sir, what about the backups? When are they going to practice? Like, we don't practice heft, so we're not practicing with the backups.
Yeah.
It's a really good one. If you don't want to get embarrassed, I guess it's probably true that if your starter gets hurt, you're not winning a Super Bowl for the most part. We saw it happen once in my lifetime. I don't think we'll see it happen again. But if you don't want to go out there and get embarrassed, I actually do think it's really smart to have apparently a very, very light investment in a backup. And I think Sam Howell's probably I'm almost positive he's one of the best 64 quarterbacks in the world who are eligible to play in the NFL right now. He's probably more like one of the 40 or so best. So I think if you're treating him exclusively as a backup, it's actually a really savvy move. I do think if you are like, oh, what if late in the year we can, start developing him and he'll be our guy in 2025, I wouldn't want to go down that road. So it just depends on how they view him as part of the future. But he's a good backup and they're not going to be paying him much. So,
well, this also puts into play Sam Howell playing for 14 NFL teams.
It does. Over his career. I think the single most critical factor with a backup needs to be someone you have to have a player that might cost you games, but you have to have a player who can actually make plays that might win a game.
Yeah,
Sam Howell can do that. He can definitely make the plays that will lose you a game, but he can actually make plays that might win you a game. I think that's a very overlooked quality with backup, where a lot of times they just want the steady hand.
Yes.
No, you actually need someone who, in crunch time, can go full Gardner Minshew. And
right. Yeah, maybe you want variance on your side when your backup is in the game. If you're a lower talent, the backups are inherently lower talent, you want a guy whose highs are high. It doesn't matter if he checks down on fourth down and gives you doesn't give you a first down because he was afraid to make the mistake, or if he gets picked off on fourth down late in the game. Both are equally as bad if they cost you the game, but you want the guy who can make the big play, even if he doesn't make it super often. You need to give yourself a shot. And that's probably a good sort of strategy for backups, is just take high variance guys who can maybe win you a game if that's the point of your backup. If you don't want to get embarrassed, by all means, have Colt McCoy as your backup. But I think actual good NFL strategy is to have the variance guys behind your starter.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Gardner Minshew, even Jameis Winston are the platonic ideals of a backup quarterback.
That's a great point.
They might lose you a game, but they might actually win you a game. Nathan Peterman, not going to win you a game. Not going to win you a game, folks.
Oh, man.
Zach Wilson,
Tim Boyle, Trevor Siemian, not going to happen.
Yeah.
Whoever we were just talking about, it might happen.
Sam Howell?
Yeah. So Drew Locke, it might happen. You know what else might happen is the show might end. We are out of time.
Yes.
We'll be back next Tuesday. There will be more signings by then. This receiver market is going to jam loose at some point. It's not a very deep receiver market, but there's still a lot of notable fantasy names out there. Hopefully by Tuesday we have more receivers to talk about. Maybe a few more trades to talk about. Maybe a few more horror stories from me going to Disney World to talk about.
Have fun, Disney Dad.
Thank you. Thank you very much. So for Disney Dad, for Danny Carter, for Kyle Dvorak, I'm Patrick Daugherty. Thank you so much for joining us. We'll be back next week.
Did you know Bridgestone developed a tire using 75% recycled and renewable materials? Making a difference today for future generations. That's what really matters. Bridgestone, solutions for your journey. Visit whatreallymatters.com to learn more.
With Spring Black Friday deals at the Home Depot, you can give your lawn or garden beds a pop of color and protection. Right now, get a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10. Help your soil retain moisture longer with color that lasts up to 12 months. Shop Spring Black Friday deals for a special buy on Scott's Earth Grow Mulch, 5 bags for just $10 at the Home Depot. How doers get more done. Color selection varies by store. Limit 60 bags per customer while supplies last.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards.
Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.